Architecture Then and Now with Karine. Luxury, wealth, prestige and shine. Buildings that represent the splendid life. Buildings strongly associated with idle and superficial existence. Yet the flavor of Romans still hovers around them. They are the personification of the elite and high society, the upper crust, who owned these exaggerated spaces. But what were they in reality? Was life within them truly so magical and magnificent? Was it all worth it? The palaces. In our mind, palaces are strongly associated with Renaissance, Baroque, and Classicism. And truly they were. While the origins of the palace are much older, dating to ancient Egypt, Mesopotamia, and Crete. The agricultural, high-organized societies emerged in Mesopotamia and Egypt by the end of the 4th millennium BC, with Minoan Crete following. This triad of civilizations laid the groundwork for European development. Some theories propose that these early palaces were used primarily for burial or religious rituals, rather than as residences. The temple palace complexes across these three regions shared significant common ground. They were elaborate structures designed to accommodate core religious rites, alongside the administrative, political, and economic duties of governance. In New Kingdom Egypt, monumental palaces featured peristyle courtyards and hypostyle halls separated by pylons, replicating the spatial and structural organization of temples in their layout. However, actual residential palaces such as Malkata on the west bank of Thebes or the complex of Akhetaten followed different planning principles and were much larger in scale. This distinction indicates that Pharaoh and his family lived in the comfort of a well-appointed palace and would visit the temple only for specific ritual periods. For a long time, secular and religious authority were inseparable, forming the foundation of all power. The state was headed by a high priest who was also the king. In Egypt, the Pharaoh. In ceremonies, this priest-king acted as a deity, considered either the son of a god or his divine representative. The temple was responsible not only for performing the most important religious rituals, but also for preserving the transmitting knowledge. This knowledge, particularly in astronomy, mathematics, and engineering, was considered sacred, and priests actively worked to prevent its dissemination. Possessing such information ensured the ability to carry out organizational and administrative functions. Knowledge formed the foundation of power. Furthermore, the temple was an educational hub training scribes and priestly initiate alike in essential skills needed to preserve and transmit sacred and administrative information. Mesopotamian temple complexes grew larger and more elaborate over time. A country yard was an obligatory feature. A major turning point in architectural history was the monumental temple palace complex constructed in Ur during the 21st century BCE. From this period, secular power began to separate from priestly authority, the change that transformed social relations completely. Recent research has established that the palaces of Crete were multifunctional complexes. So the Palace of Knossos served as a venue for important rituals, though the nature and location of these ceremonies are still debated. Follow us on Radio Ara, the radio for all voices, 102.9, 105.2 and 87.8 FM. In the monotheistic culture of medieval period, notions of power and its legitimacy shifted. The rule's life within the palace was hidden from the public view, hidden in mystery. I would say this is stark contrast to the public life of democratic governance nowadays. Royal power in the European Middle Ages was unstable and often short, with state formations being fragile and temporary. This is reflected in the development of a unified type of feudal dwelling that combined defensive and administrative roles. The central part of a medieval castle, the donjon tower, was typically divided vertically into three sections. The lower level housed storage equipment and prison. The middle level contained the feudal lords' living quarters and a hall. And the upper level held accommodations for servants and guards. Needless to say that it was common for vassals to reside with their overlord. Knights would occasionally live in the lord's castle, sharing meals, fighting alongside him, and participating in courts and councils. However, only in absolute monarchies, the presence of large numbers of nobles at the king's court became permanent and obligatory. Palaces are primarily imperial structures, with those of major feudal lords following. The earliest surviving palaces date to the 11th century, including those in Goslar and Wittenberg. The best preserved example is in Gelkhausen. This castle was built primarily for imperial receptions and ceremonies, and its corresponding halls were developed in a separate building, distinct from the keep. The rooms in this building, like those in a keep, are arranged over three floors, reproducing the typical layout of a feudal castle. In the Renaissance, the role of court society expanded across Europe, causing a wave of palace construction. Architecture then and now with Karine. Louvre. The Louvre was originally built in the 12th century as a fortress for King Philippe II to defend Paris. By the 14th century, it lost its military function and was transformed into a royal residence by Charles V, who moved his library, over 1,000 books, there. That was an extraordinary collection for the time. French kings continuously expanded the Louvre over centuries. During the Renaissance, its architecture shifted from medieval fortifications to a classical palace style. The Louvre represents a fusion of architectural eras and philosophies. On one hand, its large-scale reconstruction sought to move away from pure monumentality and strict axial dominance. On the other, the design aimed to establish a clear center within the ensemble. A major 17th century innovation produced the iconic Eastern Colonnade facade, which is 170 meters long. It exemplifies this fusion. It features a clear classical order structure with symmetrical pavilions running its full height. The entablature and balustrade are supported by paired Corinthian columns, and the surface is richly decorated with stucco, sculptures of mythological scenes, and niches holding statues of Greek gods. The Louvre became the public museum in 18th century following a decree by the Revolutionary National Assembly opening the royal collection to all citizens. Its collection has since grown to house over 380,000 objects. and the building itself stands as a monumental record of French architectural history, evolving from castle to palace to the world's most visited museum. The Ice Palace, a decorative backdrop for a cruel joke, was built on St. Petersburg's Neva River in 18th century. It was constructed from ice blocks held together by water, creating a transparent jewel-like structure. The palace was adorned with detailed ice sculptures, including dolphins and an elephant with a burning torch in its trunk. Six ice cannons that could fire real cannonballs stood guard. The complex even contained a functional bathhouse. The joke was devised by Empress Anna Ivanovna. She forced Prince Michael Golitsyn, a disgraced nobleman turned fool, to marry her unattractive servant, Avdotya Buzhininova. The couple was locked in the palace's ice bedroom on their wedding night in temperature around minus 30 degrees. Prank meant to kill them. However, legend says Avdotya bribed guards with a pearl necklace to get fur coats, which saved their lives. Both survived. After Anna Ivanovna's death, Golitsyn's title was restored and he made Avdotya his legal wife. The Ice Palace melted after 3 months, but its story endures as a symbol of the Empress's bizarre and brutal reign. The split of public and private life led to a division of palaces into two types: official residences and private mansions. The official residences of ruling houses built in the 19th century were considered works of art. Buckingham Palace in London, Carlton House in London's West End, the Habsburg in Vienna, the Royal Palace in Prague, and the Mikhailovsky Palace in St. Petersburg. The city residences of members of the ruling house lost many of the elements of their palace appearance. First and foremost, the ceremonial courtyard and garden disappeared. So something that had been an exception in the 17th and 18th centuries became the standard in the 19th century cities. A 19th century palace was forced to form a unified street facade and to consider the interests of neighboring property owners. The new country residences of 19th century monarchs continued to be called palaces, but their architecture layouts and interior design evolved into private homes. 19th century country palaces were defined by their extreme architectural individuality. Neuschwanstein Castle was conceived by King Ludwig II of Bavaria as a magical realm for the intellectual spirit. It was built by a king whose idealistic illusions were shattered by reality, leading to his subsequent degradation and mysterious death at his favorite creation. Located in the Schwabe region of Bavaria, this castle represents an outstanding approach to the castle conception. Despite its medieval, Romanesque, and Gothic Revival style, it was a marvel of modern engineering for its time. It incorporated modern techniques such as steel frames and central heating. The technological innovations were completed with soaring towers, ornate turrets, and a stark white limestone elevation. The building was drafted by the stage designer Christian Jung and implemented by the architect Edward Riedel. the king insisted on a detailed plan and gave personal approval of each draft. His control went so far that the palace has been regarded as his own creation rather than of the architects involved. The castle's dramatic exterior famously inspired Disney's Sleeping Beauty Castle. Inside, the fantasy continues with opulent rooms like the Byzantine-inspired throne room and the vast singer's hall adorned with murals from Wagnerian operas. Ironically, Ludwig enjoyed his theatrical creation for only 172 days before his death, after which it swiftly opened to the public. Today, this monument to royal fantasy attracts over 1 million visitors annually, standing not as a fortress, but as a splendid tribute to mythology and romantic imagination. Later, when absolute monarchies faded from the historical stage, the palace's name began to be assigned to the most important public institutions. It lost its connection with the gala dwellings, but have transformed to the buildings of special significance for society and the entire state. Though they retained an aura of exclusivity, the palace-like appearance is primarily characteristic of buildings housing the parliamentary and judicial branches of government. In most cases, they were officially given the name of palace. Palaces of parliament, palaces of justice, for example. The architecture of government palaces testified to the rootedness of democratic power in the history of the state. In the history of civilization. The Palace of Justice in Brussels is considered a model for this type of government building. Erected in 1883, it has ground surface of 26,000 square meters. It's considered to be the largest constructed in the 19th century and remains one of the largest of its kind. The building features a 116-meter-high dome and is known for its eclectic style, blending neoclassical and Greco-Roman influences. It serves as the seat of several courts, including the Court of Cassation and the Court of Assizes. In the 19th century, palace architecture directly influenced the design of new government buildings. The special layout of these parliamentary and judicial palaces was modeled after grand residential suites, featuring a central monumental staircase, spacious vestibules, long galleries, and large assembly halls. Notable examples include the Palace of Justice in Munich, Vienna, and Rome, the Federal Court of Lausanne, the Prussian Landtag and Reichstag in Berlin, the Federal Palace in Bern, and the Parliament in Stockholm. These structures were often of gigantic scale, reshaping city skylines and establishing themselves as new urban landmarks. Designed to regulate relations between sovereign states, these buildings housed new forms of interstate cooperation. For the European community, this resulted in institutions modeled on democratic states. Two structures in Strasbourg, the Palace of the Council of Europe and the European Court of Human Rights, have become the seats of power. While Luxembourg is known more for its castles and fortresses than grand royal palaces, it has several notable historical places that serve as key government and cultural buildings. The Grand Ducal Palace in Luxembourg City functions as the ceremonial office of the head of state. Its architecture is defined by 16th century Flemish Renaissance facade, characterized by ornate sculptural decorations, stepped gables, and a prominent ceremonial balcony. Its distinctive architectural style sets the palace apart from the more functional administrative buildings around it. While it remains a venue for state receptions and official meetings, the palace also opens its doors to public tours each summer. Berg Castle, the private residence of the Grand Ducal family, represents a different architectural approach. Rebuilt in the early 20th century, it was conceived as a deliberate fusion of historical styles. Set within an isolated park, the structure combines symmetrical neo-Renaissance form with Baroque-inspired domes and medieval-style turrets. This combination creates the appearance of a timeless noble estate. Its primary function is to provide a secure and private home, separating family life from public duties. In contrast, the Palace of the European Union on the Kirchberg Plateau represents modern institutional architecture. The original building designed in 1952 by Jean Prouvaire is a landmark of post-war modernism, featuring a clean, functionalist design of glass and concrete. The complex later expanded with the addition of the tall, glass-clad Palace Tower, which houses courtrooms and offices. This building serves a purely judicial function as the seat of the Court of Justice of the European Union. These structures illustrate Luxembourg's evolution from a fortified stronghold to a contemporary Grand Duchy and European capital, with significant architecture directly supporting its current use. Marvel, magic, and romance that surround these buildings still excite and attract. Though, in the modern world, glitter and excess are no longer attributes of luxury, we still like them. And we admire them not for the cold weight of their gold, but for the warm, indelible imprint of lives resided within their walls. The true luxury they bequeath to us is not material but emotional. A substantial breach to the human heart across centuries. They teach us that while opulence fades, the yearning for beauty, for passion, for a moment of grandeur is eternal. In the pragmatic 21st century, a quiet magic persists. Girls still whisper secret hopes of being princesses, and boys in their heart of hearts still see themselves as violent princes. What if this living fantasy is not mere childness, but something far more profound? What if it is this unwavering belief in mercy, courage, and kindness that sustains us and brings a ray of hope to life's darkest moments?
Gazing through the window at the world outside, wondering will Mother Earth survive, hoping that mankind will stop abusing her. So fighting for our